Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? How safe are you when you dive and how do you measure safety? Think about the following story and how safe the situation was. Six divers had decided to undertake a 30-meter dive from a rib. John and Dave were diving as a team with their local university dive club and had over 2,000 dives between them. Graham was relatively newly trained as a marshal and had not worked with Brian before. On the dive boat, there were two new divers to the club, Gail and Mark. Both Gail and Mark had successfully completed a checkout dive and dry suit familiarization course with another instructor in the club, and they were already certified for 40 meters. Graham was keen to do a drift dive in 32 meters of water. Brian, the cox, was somewhat worried about the conditions as there seemed to be waves forming. However, as long as all divers were certified to 30 meters and effective at getting into the water and back onto the rib, he was happy that the risk was acceptable. To allow the cox and marshal to dive, John and Dave would take over in the coxswain and marshal roles after the first dive. At the dive site, there was a small swell, no white horses, but it was not possible to prevent an uncomfortable rolling of the dive boat. As Diver A was starting to prepare his equipment, he observed Gail and Mark, who appeared to be very apprehensive and struggled to perform simple tasks as part of their buddy check. Low-pressure hoses were not connected, SPGs were not clipped off, and there seemed to be a lot of effort used on simple tasks like putting dry suit and gloves on. Furthermore, both appeared to be physically shaking and very pale. John asked the dive marshal if he had noticed the apparent stress building with Gail and Mark. He had not, because he was focused on getting his own dive kit ready for his dive. John suggested to the dive marshal to ask them if they would prefer to dive the sheltered bay with a maximum depth of 10 meters, quietly reminding him that it was their duty of care to stop diving operations if he believed that the conditions or behavior of the divers were not safe. At this point, Graham picked up on the cues and in a calm and professional manner sat with the anxious divers to discuss the diving plan. It was then established that Gail and Mark would very much like to do the shallower dive because apart from the club dry suit course, it came to light that they had never dived in dry suits before from a dive boat, in high flow or in water deeper than 20 meters before. While they were certified for the depths and dry suit, they had become extremely stressed as they had thought the dive would be a maximum of 20 meters on a wall rather than 32 meters flat bottom in extreme spring tides in much faster and colder water than they were used to. They had not wanted to make a fuss by telling the more experienced divers on the boat that they were concerned. The dive plan was changed and the boat was moved to a very sheltered bay with perfect conditions and no tidal movement. After they arrived at the new location, Gail and Mark relaxed, and on restarting their briefing and checks, they quickly and calmly fixed the small issues observed during their first aborted dive. They used the dive both to enjoy the kelp forest at 10 meters, but also to practice their ascents and using a DSMB in cold water. In their debrief, they concluded that they needed to do lots more shallow dives to get used to the new cold water conditions and that they would prefer in the future to be paired with club members with more experience until they felt more comfortable in the water. And they set their own depth limit to 15 meters until they felt more comfortable with dry suit ascents. This true story highlights that safety can end up with nothing occurring. But that doesn't mean that safety just happened of its own accord. It happened because the people did something about the emerging situation. They used technical and non-technical skills, you might know them as soft skills, to create safety. Situational awareness to notice that Gail and Mark were apprehensive and that their behavior was not normal. Assertion skills to reinforce to Graham that events were not likely to go to plan, given the mental state of Gail and Mark. Despite the marshal being present and observing the same scene as John, Graham did not have the same mental model which John had because of John's previous experiences. Leadership skills on the part of the dive marshal in communicating with Gail and Mark to ascertain their issues with a view to resolving them. Debriefing, part of teamwork, which will lead to more effective decision-making in the future for Gail and Mark by limiting their diving exposure until they are more experienced. All of the above might make sense, but how many divers understand how to develop these skills? They are taught in some fashion on a dive course, but not in a coherent manner which brings them all together, showing that to make effective decisions, there needs to be good situational awareness and clearly understood communications with those in the dive operating as a cooperative and collaborative team, recognizing the impact of stress and fatigue. If these aren't in place, then errors are more likely. So what does this have to do with emotion? A marketing specialist said to me, "The way ahead is to write compelling and emotional copy if you want to sell more courses." How the hell do you write compelling and emotional copy about nothingness? The problem is that safety is not emotional. That is until it goes wrong and then it becomes very emotional. But then it is too late to be safe this time. Fortunately, unsafe doesn't happen very often, but even when it does, the focus normally ends up in the wrong place, looking at equipment or skills training rather than decision-making, situational awareness, or communications. The other side of it is that in many cases, unsafe situations end up with nothing happening too. So how do you know you were safe? When you drove to work this morning, were you safe? How did you know? Did you arrive at work on time and without crashing? How many mental shortcuts did you take? Did you have your hands on the wheel at 10 and 2 all the time? Did you always consciously mirror, then signal, then maneuver? Did you stick to the speed limit all the time? If you didn't follow the rules and follow best or good practice, well done. You are human. You make mistakes, but they don't always end up as compromises to safety. What about the last time you went diving? Were you safe? How do you know? Did you get out without injury? Did you look back at the dive and understand what went well and why? And did you look at what you could do better next time and put a plan in place to make that happen? Did you look to see how unsafe you were and the risks you took? If you didn't, that's fine too. You are like most divers. They judge the safety of a dive by the outcome. Even if that means they got in with their gas turned off, they didn't analyze their gas as they assumed it was okay, they had a leaking regulator because it has been okay in the past, they lost their buddy in the poor visibility because that happens all the time, and it is to be expected their torch failed and they carried on in atrocious visibility and swam into a wreck as a consequence. Safety is not about being compliant and following the rules. Safety is a dynamic non-event. That means for it to happen, you need to adapt to the situation which leads to nothing happening. Nothing happening is normally unemotional, and that means selling safety and performance is really hard. People buy things or services to stop something painful happening, or because they want something that meets a desire, shiny, or solves a problem. People rarely buy things which give them nothingness. That is my emotional copy. Have fun wherever you are in diving, but remember, just because nothing happened, it doesn't mean it was safe. You have to do something about the situation to make it safe. You and your dive team create safety, not the equipment. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.